Good morning. My name is Ashley, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Report on Public Finances and Public Debt Third Quarter 2011 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn today's conference over to Miguel Messmacher. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Mexican Ministry of Finance conference call on the results on economic activity, public finances, and public debt for the third quarter of 2011. With me is Alejandro Díaz de León. I will give you some initial remarks on economic activity and the results on public finances, and then Alejandro will discuss the main results in terms of public debt. Let me just remind our friends from the press that this call is off the record. As usual, I won't go over all the details in the bulletin, in the communique. You have that. I'll just be highlighting some of the issues that I think are most important and perhaps give you some additional information. Regarding recent economic activity, what we see and what we expressed in the bulletin is that when you look at most of the relevant indicators, actually, the Mexican economy seems to have maintained a relatively high rate of growth during the third quarter of this year. In annual terms, we're anticipating the annual growth rate to accelerate from a rate of 3.3% in the second quarter of this year to something like 3.7% in the third quarter. Obviously, part of that is due to the fact that the Easter effect affected the annual growth rate in the second quarter. Now, if we move towards the quarterly growth rates, and this is something that's not in the bulletin, we're anticipating that the quarterly growth rate in the third quarter of the year is going to be close to 1%, more perhaps a little bit less than that, but very close to 1% in quarterly seasonally adjusted terms, which implies a rate of growth that would be quite similar to the one observed in the second quarter, perhaps a little bit smaller, but not in a very significant way. In that sense, we might be observing a deceleration in the margin, but nothing too substantial, I think. This sort of forecast for the third quarter of the year are based, obviously, on the results that we have already observed. As of now, we already have a fair amount of information for the quarter as a whole. Just to sort of give you the main highlights, we did observe an important deceleration in exports of manufactured goods and in exports in general during the third quarter of the year. This is a number that you already know. What we observed, on the other hand, was a domestic demand that actually maintained relatively high rates of growth. For example, when you look at ANTAD sales, they show a growth rate of 2.6% quarter of the year. This is quarter-on-quarter, non-annualized. We look at imports of consumption goods that grew by 5.5% during this same period. Automobile production during the quarter as a whole also grew by 1.9% for the quarter as a whole in non-annualized terms, and employments grew by a pretty healthy 1% during the quarter, again, quarter-on-quarter, non-annualized terms. Overall, what we seem to be observing is some deceleration in the export sector, probably associated with the inventory adjustment process in the U.S. that was already taking place and that is evident in the numbers that were published last week for GDP in the third quarter in the U.S., which, as you all know, showed very low numbers of inventory accumulation. On the other hand, we're observing a domestic demand that is maintaining a pretty healthy rhythm of expansion. Moving on to the results on public finances. During the first nine months of the year, the overall public balance, this is including Pemex's investment, registered a deficit of 179 billion pesos. This compares with a deficit approved for the year as a whole of 356 billion pesos. So clearly we're in line with achieving the budget deficit for the year as a whole. I mean, we're not observing excessive pressures in that respect. The primary balance during the first 9 months of the year registered a surplus of 4.5 billion. And when you look at the public balance without Pemex's investment, the deficit during the first 9 months of the year was 29.8 billion pesos. And again, this compares with a deficit approved for the year as a whole without Pemex's investment of 70.2 billion pesos. So again, we're perfectly, the number, the results that we've observed during the first 9 months of the year are perfectly consistent with what was approved for the year as a whole. Budgetary revenues for the public sector in the first 9 months of the year was higher by 6.4% in real annual terms with respect to the same period of last year. Something that we anticipated and that we've been discussing with you is that the annual rate of growth has been increasing as the year has progressed. So if you remember, we were observing very low rates of growth during the first quarter of the year in the order of 1.6%. Then we observed a growth rate of 4.6% in the first semester as a whole. And now for the first three quarters of the year, we're observing a growth rate of 6.4%. So the evolution of revenues really has been exactly as we sort of anticipated at the end of the year, and we're very likely to end up with excess revenues for the year as a whole, which implies that we shouldn't have any problems with attaining all of the results that were approved by Congress for the year. Within budgetary revenues, oil revenues increased by 13.5% in real terms for the first three quarters of the year. Non-oil tax revenues increased by 3%. Here we've observed a similar pattern to what we've seen for total revenues. The growth rate in the first quarter of the year was 1%, then it moved to 2.3% for the first semester of the year. And now for the first three quarters of the year, the growth rate has moved to 3%. And we're anticipating this process to continue, so the growth rate should increase further and be higher for the year as a whole. Revenues of public entities under direct budgetary control different from Pemex increased by 8.4% in real annual terms. And then finally, non-tax revenues of the federal government decreased by 17% in real annual terms. As you know, during 2010, we actually used a relatively large amount of non-recurrent revenues, which obviously is not repeated during this year, and which basically explains this strong decline in non-tax, non-oil revenues of the federal government. Compared with what was originally envisaged in the program, revenues are actually above program already during the first three quarters of the year by slightly more than 16 billion pesos. And again, here we have moved in the direction that we anticipated since the beginning of the year. If you remember, in the first quarter of the year, revenues were below program by 13.4 billion pesos. Then for the first semester as a whole, revenues were below program by 6.7 billion pesos. And now we've moved towards excess revenues for the first three quarters of the year as a whole. And we're anticipating that this number of excess revenues would probably increase slightly during the fourth quarter of the year. So as I mentioned, in that respect, we're not anticipating problems with attaining all of our fiscal objectives for the year. Moving on to expenditures, in the January-September period, again of this year, total public sector expenditures increased by 5.9% in real annual terms with respect to what was observed in the same period of last year, programmable expenditures increasing 6.9%. Within expenditures, some issues to note, expenditures on social development increased by 7.2% in real terms. Those allocated to security and justice increased by 15.3%, and those for governance increased by 15.6%. Physical budgetary investment is still showing relatively low rates of growth of 2.9%, and physical fostered investment is increasing by 2.5%. Again, as we've mentioned, there has been a delay in the investment program by Pemex. If you look at investment without Pemex, the growth rates are actually of 16.3% for budgetary investment and of 14.9% for fostered investment. Resources transferred to states and municipalities have increased by 6.2% in real annual terms, and in particular, shared revenues are increasing by 4.6% in real annual terms. Finally, expenditures on personal services increased by 3.8% in real annual terms, but that's basically due to increases in other branches of government and autonomous organisms, entities under direct budgetary control, and federalized expenditures. Expenditures in ministries of the federal government and in the INEGI increased by only 0.1% in real terms, and pension and retirement expenditures are recording a real annual increase of 12.5%. With that, I would turn over to Alejandro Diaz de León.
Thank you, Miguel. Regarding public debt, I'll first start making just a few remarks in terms on our participation in the domestic financial markets. And as you know, our strategy has been to increase the resilience of the market and the average maturity and duration. And in particular, the gross issuance of fixed rate bonds that took place in the third quarter was 10.75 and 6.10 years, respectively. First duration and the other one was the average maturity. And clearly, this is higher of what we have seen in the previous quarters, and in particular, the fourth quarter of 2008. Which was 6 and 4 years, respectively. Clearly, the second major change that we have done in the third quarter was the debt syndication process, which, as you know, we have fine-tuned the system to go from a traditional book-building process to an auction syndication process, which basically uses our market makers' efforts, but it is an auction, and we believe that the price discovery process embedded in this system has been significantly improved to make a market concession. Under this mechanism, there were two options. The first one was the introduction of the 5-year bond, and the second one was the 20-year bond. And I would say that we have had a significant participation and good results from this new mechanism. On the third point, on the domestic market, just to highlight that foreigners' participation, both in the overall government securities balance and in particular in the fixed-rate bonos, M-bonos, has been relatively very steady all the way through August, September, and October. And I would highlight that this is particularly worth mentioning in spite of the volatility that we have seen in this particular last month. And basically, foreigners' holdings of M-bonos has been around 40% throughout this whole period that I mentioned. Regarding the external market, as you know, we had this $1 billion retap of the Centennial Bond, which was done in the 10th of August in the midst of a very complicated and volatile market, just 3 days after the U.S. Was downgraded by S&P, and clearly was a complicated time in the market. But I think the book that we had and the demand and the reverse inquiry that we had for the bond was substantial, clearly allowed for a significant large transaction of $1 billion and with a relatively very low interest rate or yield of 5.96, which is lower than the one we had last year. So I think this highlights that the Mexican economy is able to have access to domestic and external markets in good conditions in spite of the recent volatility that we have faced. Regarding the public debt levels, I would highlight that the federal government's net debt at the end of the third quarter stands at 26.2% of GDP. From that figure is slightly higher than the one in the previous quarter, which is 25.8. And from that figure, we have 20.7 represents the domestic net debt, and 5.5 is due to the external net debt. On the public sector net debt, which, as you well know, includes not only the federal government but also public entities under direct budgetary control and the development bank, this figure ended up the third quarter at 31.8% of GDP, which is 7 percentage points higher than the one observed in the end of the previous quarter. And just to have a final word on our broadest definition, our historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirement, which, as you know, includes all other contingent items, it amounted to 35.8% of GDP, and this amount is, again, slightly above the one of the previous quarter, 0.6 percentage points. And this clearly highlights that the debt levels are still very low, very manageable, and with a stable dynamic. And with this, I would end my participation, and maybe we can open up for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star one to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And again, that is star one to ask a question. Our first question comes from the line of Olaf Sandodal.
Yes, hi, Miguel. I would like to ask a question regarding the oil subsidy. I mean, can you explain a bit how has it evolved in the first three quarters of the year and the expectative for 2011 and closing 2011 and 2012? Is it below, above Congress estimate? I mean, can you talk a bit more about that? Thank you very much.
I mean, on it, first of all, let me clarify, to the extent that we continue to be net exporters, in the end, what ends up happening is that whenever we observe prices, international prices of oil and of gasoline increase, we still continue to have excess revenues of oil. So in that respect, really what the increase in the implicit subsidy or the opportunity cost does is that it limits the increase in the excess revenues, but it doesn't really represent a fiscal pressure on net terms. Obviously, given that the subsidy has several problems in terms of the distortions it generates in the economy, the fact that it benefits mostly high-income families, et cetera, implies that we should continue on a path to try to decrease it. But obviously, the increases that we've been observing, both in international oil prices and on the exchange rate, have made it difficult to close this gap. Overall, for the year as a whole, we're expecting that the oil subsidy is going to amount to something similar to 1% of GDP, around 150 billion pesos. So it's relatively similar to the estimations that we've mentioned before. And basically what has been happening is that while in some periods of time we might have observed some declines in international prices, at the same time we have observed a depreciation of the exchange rate. And that has kept sort of the marginal subsidy similar to what we had been observed before. Now, obviously, we will continue with sort of this policy that takes into account opportunity costs and expected inflation in order to try to increase to reduce the gap and to reduce the deficit over time through increases in gasoline prices similar to the ones that we have been observing during this year.
Our next question comes from the line of Benito Berber.
Thank you, Miguel and Alejandro. A quick question. Can you give us some guidance about the oil hedge for next year? Thanks.
Benito, sorry. We won't be giving any details. As you know, I mean, when we finish the operations and when we finish the negotiation of the budget, we give the entire details to you. I'm sure we will do that and we'll be more than pleased. But until that happens, we won't be giving any details.
Okay, thanks.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star one to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. We do have a question from the line of Olaf Sandodal.
Thank you. Hi, Miguel. Are you expecting some positive effect from presidential elections on 2012, on GDP, of course? Thank you. Good morning.
That's actually a very good question, Olaf. I mean, in the end, what we have tended to observe is that, in general, during many of the last presidential election years, economic performance has been quite good. Now, it's not very clear why, because obviously it's not that at the federal level we actually are increasing our expenditure in an important way, and obviously it's not that we have a stashed amount of money somewhere that we're going to be spending during next year. But in general, there does seem to be some type of confidence effect, and obviously there is a possibility that political parties have saved resources in previous year, and they suddenly decide to spend them in the election year. So, I mean, it is a sort of empirical regularity that we have observed, but it's not something that one can try to forecast with certainty. So let me just leave it at that.
Okay, thank you so much.
And there are no further questions in the queue at this time.
Could you just check one last time, operator?
And again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Alberto Orihuela.
Hi, Miguel. How are you? Thank you for taking my question. You have previously mentioned that the execution of expenditure in the first half of the year was at near historic levels. And I'm wondering how the execution evolved in the third quarter, and perhaps if you could comment on how the figures for 2011 compared to previous years.
Sure. It continues to be the case. And if you actually, just by looking at sort of the annual growth rates of expenditures that I was mentioning, if you look at the overall increase in expenditures for the first three quarters of the year, they're actually significantly above the increase in GDP. So overall increase in expenditures has been 5.9% higher than the level observed in the same period of last year. And within programmable expenditures, the increase has been 6.9%. And this is in spite of the fact that we have had these delays in investment by Pemex. So clearly, what we have been observing, and this continues to be the case all the way until the third quarter of this year, is a very effective execution of the expenditure program. Obviously, this may imply that the marginal growth rate in the fourth quarter might be a little bit more moderate than what we had observed in previous quarters for the public sector as a whole, though obviously to the extent that Pemex is able to cover up for an important part of the shortfall that they've had in their investment during this year, that should be compensating for any type of deceleration in the fourth quarter.
Makes sense. Thank you.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one to ask a question. And there are no further questions at this time.
Thank you very much, everybody. And please do remember that any additional questions or issues you might have, you can let us know through the Investor Relations Office. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.